This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And today, we're back live from Salem. State Representative Court Boyce representing the 1st District. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for having me on.
So talk about what's going on today in Salem. You just exited the floor of the House. What's going on right now?
Well, I'm protesting Senate Bill 1599. That's a bill that is determined to raise taxes on the electorate that is just, our side feels is continually being abused. And this goes back, Kyle, the full year when we defeated, I think it was 2055, on the $15 billion Oregon Department of Transportation bill. And, they couldn't get that done. So they went through the summer. The governor, as you recall, did an emergency special session through Labor Day, which we showed up and did everything good to battle back. And then when we lost that, the majority party, Portland senators and representatives passed that bill. The governor delayed signing for, 30 days. So it would be harder for our people, our hardworking Oregonians, to gather signatures. To top it off, then she signed the bill on a Friday night after business hours to further conceal efforts to, to keep the voters in the dark. Two more, having failed to stop that, the referendum, as you recall, gathered 250,000 signatures in Oregon because the bill was so bad and so unaffordable. The other side continually talks about affordability. And the bills that we have passed so far this year, Kyle, I'm looking at about an inch high, one page, and only about a fourth of those I could vote yes. It were pretty much general bills. So now they want to move Senate Bill 1599 to the May primary when it's a lower voter turnout. The folks that signed the 250,000 signature, offered their signatures and worked so hard, they clearly knew that we'd put on the November ballot. And so this is just political maneuver after political maneuver. And I'm usually not political. I just get here first one in the morning. I work 24/7, enjoy it very much. But this is just unbelievable. So today I decided I'm not going to be on the floor for this bill. I'll go back after this bill is done. But citizens want to know why I voted pushback so hard on this. They can certainly call me, but I don't know how many other on the outside walked out. But sometimes you just, on principle, you just have to do what you have to do. And we do have it under, the possibility of a legal ruling so that it will be forced to stay on the November ballot. I've gotten along pretty well with our Secretary of State, but he's even pulled some stuff that they move deadlines are constantly changing, moving the goalposts. And so I hope that didn't take too long, but yeah, it's taken all the oxygen out of the Capitol as I speak.
Well, my understanding is, presuming that this passes in the House, goes to the governor, et cetera, your side will have an injunction or something to try to stop it. And at some point, we're going to run into whatever adjustment you can make, wiggle room, if you will, to the deadlines. We're going to run up to something here fairly soon, given when some of the early ballots have to go out for the primary.
Well, no surprise. Thank you, Kyle, for being informed. And this is so critical to the people that still call themselves Oregonians. The business bills that we have passed and our side has been strongly opposed to. We see businesses leaving just the great exodus, and they just debated, 41-47. And it's highly union-backed, and I hate to miss a vote. I'm very proud of being on duty, but this is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, and so I'll be back in a little bit. But anyway, to your point, there are some deadlines that we, in good faith, took to heart that, okay, these are the parameters we've got to work with. I served with 10 women and 11 men on the House side for a total of 23 super minority. And they have just done an incredible job. Our leaders, there's not one person of that 22 that I work with that I don't greatly admire. We're all doing what we feel is the very, very best thing for our districts. And so when you represent rural Coos Kerr and Douglas counties, farming, ranching, forestry, tourism, fishing, you just do what you think you got to do, and you hope that you can strongly keep the people's trust. And so I'm very determined on that.
Now, here we are on the 2nd of March. If I remember from prior conversations with one of the lawmakers, I think is the 9th the signee die day?
Yeah, that's whatever the Sunday is. So let's see, yesterday's the 1st. I think it's the 8th. Yes, you're real close there. So, if we would have all walked out today, which a lot of our, our productive Oregonian citizens want us to do, because I think that's the only option, with the legal process that we have going, and we have reasonable optimism. Those people want us all to walk, but it's each individual legislator what they have to do for their district. Repeat your question if you would. I apologize.
Well, just having a very few days left to finish this short session, it sounds like there's still a lot of things on the table to get through.
Well, I was looking at two pages of bills, about 15 that I can support half of them, and the other two I cannot support. We'll vote no and probably debate in opposition. There's a lot to do. We have to do our budget. That's a big one. We're all bringing funds back to our district, and we worked very hard on that. And so, it's a constant challenge to win the chess game, and especially in the super minority. But again, I'm so proud of the people that lead for us in both the Senate and the House. And, our governor candidates are on board. Obviously, I believe that's the answer for Oregon, is to get a business-oriented conservative governor that can stop some of the businesses from leaving, some of the people from leaving. Everything, Kyle, from the death tax to the gun bills that are so unnecessary. If people want to get in touch with me, see some of my four speeches on that Coach Court, COURT, coachcourt@gmail.com. And we're fighting to save our state and for the future generations.
And you mentioned the gun bill. Let's talk about House Bill 4145 from a few days ago and the impact you believe it'll have on gun owners.
Well, I'm hoping the governor doesn't sign it. That's, of course, a long shot. It's all about the side of a magazine. The criminals, they'll have the latest, greatest way to commit crime and weapons that intimidate, and even worse, the law-abiding folks in this state. So if you have, as I understand it, if you have a magazine over 10, which most of them are, then you can instantly become a felon. And then when you want to leave guns or, Second Amendment rights to your kids or grandkids, puts that in question. It goes back to Measure 114. This is one of my speeches on the House floor. They really tout democracy, and in the voter referendum for 114, as you recall, it won in Oregon by less than 0.5%. So it just shows how incredibly, it's unconstitutional, but it shows you how divided we are. I made a point on the floor, one of my speeches in opposition to 415, that it really comes down to the Bill of Rights more than the Constitution. And the Bill of Rights is So this 11 guys over here can't control this 10 over here because they all have individual rights. And we need to teach our kids that. We need to constantly remind one another how critical that was and the standard of living is given the people of the United States of America. And it's why we live here. It's why we want to fiercely protect that.
Let's talk about House Bill 4134 from last week.
You know, that was a hot one, too. You know, I was in the river business and lodging business for 40 years, and so I paid the lodging tax. But to have it mandatory, you know, and some of the money to go to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. A lot of it was to save endangered species. And, you know, my position on that, Kyle, you know that, we don't, you know, I know it always gets repeated, but somebody out there that puts the people in office in the Portland area needs to understand that, yeah, we have a spending problem. We don't have a revenue problem. So when I see the amount of waste, starting my fourth year here, and I saw it when I was a commissioner of Curry County, but now it's really, you know, now it's just really pervasive. The amount of waste, fraud, abuse, and I think at some point we'll uncover some corruption. I want to be careful how that sounds, but I believe it in my heart. And, you know, I just think of the people in the Douglas County and the 8 incorporated cities and all the communities that work so hard, play by the rules, pay their bills, try and get their kids through school, that, you know, this is just wrong for them. The waste has got to stop. And I think a business-oriented governor will pick on that immediately and give us, I would say Douglas County is the hub of hope because there's just so many solid common sense folks there, and it really keeps me motivated.
Now, I want to ask as well about Senate Bill 1507, passage, the federal disconnect bill, if you will. Talk about the impact that's going to have.
You know, Kyle, you know, back to 4134, I could have voted for that bill, except I'm not going to support a tax almost under any circumstances till we get our spending in order. So, yeah, thanks for bringing up 1507. Which one is it again? What's the subtitle there?
That was the federal disconnect bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So the other side. This is a real shock. No, they actually portrayed that, and I debated the heck out of that on the House floor as well. But they honestly portrayed that as a tax cut for our workers. They talk about the billionaires in Oregon and around the United States and how the big, beautiful bill for the federal government would just help billionaires. I don't know how they could say that and keep a straight face. I was in a supermarket last Thursday, or I can't remember the day now, but a gal come in that was probably in her 50s, and she'd been called into work, and she'd already done her 40 hours, and she had 8 hours. I said, well, that 8 hours plus the day, you know what, when I could interject respectfully and politely you know, not be too guilty of eavesdropping, but I was concerned. I said, yeah, but you're going to get overtime and no tax on that. She got the biggest smile on her face. Now, there's a person that's working and covering and loyal to her colleagues. And, you know, she's got a big smile that, hey, no, I don't have to pay tax on that. And we disconnect from that, from the federal government, because the other side wants to figure a way and then misrepresent it to raise more taxes. And so I and my colleagues on the, you know, the tough 23, we just call it out and do our best to defeat them. And we've got a ways to go, but we're making a difference.
As you go through the final days of the session, one of the things that's been talked about from the Republican side a lot is the amount of businesses that have left the state, or at least pulled back their influence, maybe moved their headquarters, other things like that. And not just the short-term potential impact of that, but the long-term impact as well.
Well, we don't even have a good system to track the small businesses, the male employed, a half a dozen people. You know, those are the first ones to work, the last ones to leave, the last ones to get paid. Sometimes they just load their families up and leave and hope for, you know, better, a better horizon in a different stage. So I am, though, keeping a list of the different corporate and larger companies in our sacred employers that have left Oregon. And when you look at, there's a total of 13 mills, lumber, one paper mill, that have been shut down in just the last 21, 22 months. Another one in Riddle. I mean, it just hurts the heart. And that's just the mills, not to mention Dutch Brothers and Intel and Nike and Sherry's Restaurants and Walmart. Fred Meyer closing stores. You know, some of them aren't real famous companies, but they employ 100 or, you know, 120 or whatever. And yet to see the bills that this legislator has jammed through. Yeah, we know why we're here to fight this. And so it's really quite a list. And that's why the unemployment rate is up to 5.4%. So it's over a 1 point higher than the national average. Yeah, it's a fascinating time we live in Oregon, and we're just never going to give up.
And as you look towards the primary election, do you think all the things that are going on in this short session, what kind of impact might that have in the primary election, or is that going to be seen more in the general?
Oh, it's kind of a toss-up. You know, we have the summers off, but then when the House side, we run every 2 years, so I got a Democratic opponent. I can't wait to debate him because he's going to fit right in very well with the Portland group, because if he tries to step out of line, which he wouldn't, I know his personality, not to be negative, but they'll squish him. You know, they vote as a block, and when you have 36 or 37, it's a pretty powerful wall to penetrate. You know, I think I'm a good campaigner. It's easy to be motivated when you see what's going on up here. The constant division between rural and urban. You know, I used to subscribe to a magazine called Rural Oregon, and a front cover picture for your viewers, if they want to just take, you know, kind of picture this in their thought pattern, there is an older farmer. Beautiful child just off back in the distance, and probably 7 or 8 years old. The farmer's got 3 or 4 boxes that he's holding up, and the caption is, "Feeding Portland is a dang big job." And so I just kind of hang on to that, to the disrespect we have for our farmers and ranchers. You know, the whole wolf issue, the predator issue, they wanted to shut our crabbing industry down, and I went and had quite a quite an aggressive speech at the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. There was about 250 people there, mostly hardworking fishermen, and we got ODFW to deny the petition. So that was a big win, and that's why we keep going. But yeah, just the two sections of Oregon. Our job is to do anything, everything to bring those two sections together, and it's a steep mountain, but we're up for the job.
Talk about some of the things in between legislative times. I know you stay busy going around the district. Talk about some of the visits recently.
You know, I've had a tremendous pleasure. The same day I went for ODFW and all the fishermen to be the keynote speaker at the Optimist Club. I've never been around so many wonderful, dedicated, talented, high integrity people in my life. Was you know, all the city, almost all the cities in Douglas County were represented with police chiefs and some of their officers. You know, my middle son is a captain with the Oregon State Police, and my dad, the famous sheriff in the 60s and 70s in Curry County. And so just a tremendous, humbling privilege to be there. Senator Brock Smith was there. Rep. Osborne was there. He introduced me and gave me a really bad time, but it was all in terrific fun. And I just, if anybody wants to join that club and just support law enforcement, that's one. You know, I went to the Oregon Loggers Conference and was there about 3 or 4 hours and just had met a lot of people, friends I've known for years. I love being around that great equipment, the smell of sawdust and I mean, salt and light of the earth, those people that do it despite tremendous odds. And yeah, we don't want any more mills to shut down. We don't want to we want to stop burning our forest. And so, yeah, I'm right where I need to be.
All right, and we're out of time for today. I know a lot's still going to be going on as the day goes on in Salem, and we'll check in again with you, and we're continuing conversations with the other lawmakers throughout the week and weeks ahead as well. That wraps it for Inside Douglas County Today. State Representative Court Osborne. Court, thanks for being on.
Court Boyce.
All right, there we go. Wait, said there's so many of you, I knew I would do that eventually. All right.
You said court.
I did. 1256 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.